What in the industry, that killer was 4 years, man. I've confirmed it, they are not
the horror play, the first horror play episode of 2015.
Oh yeah,
hooray!
Yeah. It is a new year.
Yeah. It's a new year. Everyone.
Happy New Year, guys!
Yay.
It's a new year. It's a fresh start.
New year, new horror play. Let's start a whole new
fresh
whole
start.
Wait! New year, new horrors.
New horrors.
We need a fresh start. We need a fresh start. Here it is. So bring something new to
bring
the table, John.
Fresh new
intro. Let's hear it.
I'm your host.
Perfect.
John Loswa.
Don't like it.
Okay. Joining me, as always, are my gorgeous co-hosts.
Are you going easy for the new year?
Yeah.
He's starting off simple.
He's like an OUS word.
There's going to be like 26 horror play episodes here.
Probably.
So I got like 26 words lined up.
Okay.
Okay.
Can't wait to hear the next one.
Yeah. No repeats
Pretty.
Like last year.
Yeah, Adam that Jim was Moore. Disappointing.
What is your New Year's resolution?
Oh, man, I really didn't make one.
So that's your resolution?
That's my resolution, to not resolute.
That sounds a lot like you.
How's it going? How's that going?
Pretty good. Yeah. I have not sounds failed like yet.
Living up to it. Living up to it.
Living the dream.
I'm feeling better about my life already.
There you go.
This has been a great year.
Kyle Appayard.
Hey, guys.
What was your New Year's resolution?
To actually play horror games.
Okay.
There you go.
Not going well. Not going well.
I'm glad that's your resolution. Robert Lamb,
yeah.
What's your resolution that you're going to break in a week?
Ooh, drink more water.
Okay.
Eat less fatty foods.
Drink anything.
Right. I don't even drink.
Yeah.
Like liquids. I was so dehydrated last year that doctors said that there was a good chance I was going to die.
You were pissing sawdust.
You looked like a husk.
Yeah.
You look like a husk of a person.
Yeah. I just was just a giant corn husk.
Yeah. I'm surprised you survived your walk.
Yeah. It was crazy.
You're
but,
just a walking bag of beef jerky.
But now I'm going to drink more liquids.
Okay.
Mainly water. Uh-huh. And then also, I want to find a new scariest game this year.
What?
I don't know if it'll happen.
I want to play scariest games. You want to find them? We should do like a thing.
Maybe something like this.
Right.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Okay.
Maybe something different.
Yeah, actually, let's just stay the same. Let's just keep it simple.
Okay.
Kyle.
Yes, sir.
What is the first game that we are going to review for the year 2015?
We're starting 2015 fresh.
Right.
As you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you already know by the title of this podcast, so we're reviewing Silent Hill, the 1999 Resident Evil knockoff. Let's be honest here.
It's different.
This is a game by Konami. Konami was didn't Konami also do Resident Evil? Or they released it in America? Or am I thinking Capcom?
Capcom.
Capcom.
Yeah, that was Capcom. Yeah.
Okay.
Konami did Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah.
That's what, yeah.
Yeah. Get it together, Kyle.
Yeah.
Game description's going bad. So it's your basic third person survival horror, which Resident Evil made famous to this point in the 90s, and I don't know if.
What was Resident Evil, 96 or 98?
96.
I think it came out in Japan in like 96.
Okay.
So then maybe here in 97.
Right. So this was 3 years later.
Yeah.
But it was like a different thing. It wasn't like Resident Evil was zombies, but Silent Hill is more of just like creatures.
Creatures. But it still has those same tropes where you have inventory. You have like a limited inventory.
Yeah, it's very
similar. You have puzzles to solve and...
And it's
the third person
view's
area to explore, and it's
find
of,
keys, all that shit.
Right, and it's very open, and the story revolves around a man who brings his daughter to a town called Silent Hill. He brings her there for vacation. She wanted to go on vacation in Silent Hill for some reason. I guess it's a resort town. So he brings her here, finds his transportation rendered useless. And now must explore Silent Hill as his daughter has gone missing.
Wow.
And it's his mission to find her.
Sounds like a great setup for a horror game. Yeah. Who would have thought?
But a place like Silent Hill, how could that be bad? It sounds so peaceful and serene.
Does. Yeah,
it sounds like a retirement home, though.
Yeah, it does.
So, guys, we've all had a chance to play Silent Hill. What are our thoughts on this creepy game.
Ooh. Creepy. Well, I personally, I liked it. I like the original Resident Evil, and I never played all the way through the original Silent Hill, so being able to play through it all the way was pretty cool.
You were always a fan of Silent Hill 2.
I love Silent Hill 2, and I played Silent Hill 2 before I played Silent Hill 1, because I think I got, like, I mean, I had a PlayStation, but I didn't really have too many games for it, because I got a PlayStation later in its life cycle. But then when I got PS2, I just moved right to Silent Hill 2, and I never went back. Silent Hill 2 was the only Silent Hill I ever beat up until this point. So playing Silent Hill 1 and seeing, like, because it's Silent Hill is usually in the top 10 horror games of all time. If you look up lists of top 10 horror games,
the original Silent Hill,
it'll either be the original or the sequel, Silent Hill 1 or 2.
I thought it was a situation where Silent Hill was kind of like Terminator 1, Terminator 2, where like more people know about 2 than know about 1, but 1 was 1 still kind of holds up.
Wait, Schwarzenegger was in Silent Hill?
Schwarzenegger was in Silent Hill.
That was the comparison.
He was actually Pyramid Head.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't show up till 2.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
To crush your dreams.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I think Silent Hill 1 and 2 both get praise for being what they are. Silent Hill was the original one, and it had, like, it had its good points about it. But I've also heard that, like, Silent Hill 2 just, like, upped the ante and just was a better Silent Hill game.
Right.
Personally, I liked 2 better, but it's been a while since I've played that one. But playing through Silent Hill was a cool experience.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't mention Silent Hill without it being compared to Resident Evil. And I don't think that's necessarily fair. I mean, it is true that it's the same genre. It owes a lot of inspiration from Resident Evil, but I think it does enough to make it kind of stand on its own.
Yeah.
You know, for one thing, it's not zombies. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
And really, it's not action oriented as much as Resident Evil is. Silent Hill is always more, has to me always been more kind of psychological.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just messes with your head. There wasn't like a lot of jump scares. It makes you tense, you know.
Yeah. I'll disagree with that a little bit. Simply for the fact that the monsters respawn when you leave areas, whereas they really didn't in Resident Evil. So I feel like that kind of made the game a little bit more action-y.
Right.
Because if you killed all the zombies or dogs or whatever in Resident Evil in a certain area, you were pretty much free to roam that area to find whatever you needed. Whereas this, if you missed something and had to backtrack all the way across town, then you'd probably have to fight some of those weird bat creatures and some dogs again.
But the reason, the thing I like the most about Silent Hill is not necessarily like psychological, but the fact that, like, okay, for the school, for example, had, like, these creatures that attacked you, and they're, like, these little children-like creatures that had, like, knives and stuff, and they would try to, like, stab you and grab onto you. But then, like, there would be some rooms that you go into, and you just see, like, this kind of shadowy dark figure, and it would make, like, this screeching noise, but it wouldn't attack you. It would just kind of walk by. And, like, I always thought that was weird. I remember looking it up, and it's supposed to be, like, the lost child or something like that, that it's, like, this creature that doesn't attack you. It just kind of drifts from room to room and just appears every once in a while. But it's, like, it's kind of, like, a creepy, because it makes a creepy noise, but it doesn't attack you or anything like that. And that's the kind of stuff that I like about Silent Hill, whereas, like, any other game, it would just be an enemy. Yeah. But this one, it was kind of more of just, like, a creepy thing that just showed up.
Silent Hill, like, takes a different approach. Resident Evil, like, tries to get in your face with its scares. Silent Hill, like, tries to sneak up on you.
Yeah.
You know, really, it's just hiding in the corner waiting for, like, the perfect moment to just kind of, you know, to scare you. But at the same time, it lets you know it's there the whole time.
Sometimes that moment doesn't even come.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like it builds up that tension to to nothing.
Plus, like, Silent Hill takes place in a whole town. Like, it's the whole town of Silent Hill, where Resident Evil was in, like, one mansion. But they do both still have, like, that puzzle solving where you can't get to another portion of the town until you solve this. Or, like, you have certain areas where you're going to go. So, like, that is, like, another similarity where it's still, like, that puzzle solving that you have to do till you can move to the next section. But I kind of like, the whole town atmosphere, because you get to, like, run around outside. It's foggy. And
makes
like
it feel
creatures
bigger
out there. Yeah.
Everything feels...
Yeah. So you'd rather go on vacation to Silent Hill rather than the Resident Evil mansion?
Yeah, because I think I can get away from Silent Hill a lot easier.
More room to run.
Resident Evil
and
Mansion.
You get all that room in the streets.
Yeah.
They got the biggest streets
all those
ever.
Weird monsters chasing you the whole time.
Okay, I do want to say like those like monkey monsters like near the end, like where they're just like crawling on all fours and just jumping after you. Those guys were so annoying and freaky.
So like half of the gameplay of Silent Hill, you have to traverse through the town, through the streets. But whenever you're in the streets, you're always being chased by something.
Yeah.
It's just really annoying.
So it's the radio's always going off, and you're like, oh, fuck.
It's hard to dodge things, too. Like right.
It really is.
The flying monsters and stuff. Mm-hmm. We were getting hit by those.
You find that out very early, too, because it's like as soon as the flying monsters come in, you're like, fuck. It never stops.
And they just slap you upside the head. I'm like, ow. Jesus.
And you never really quite know what direction they're coming from, and you don't really see them until it's too late.
Yeah.
And you can't run away from them. Every time I tried to run, it chased me the entire time until I gave up and killed it.
It would be like right behind you the whole time, just flapping its wings. Same with the jumping monsters. I remember John was playing, and we just watched him because we were trying to figure out where to go and just running by all these buildings as the two monsters were just right behind us on our tail the whole time.
I'm just like, okay. Robert's like, no, check that place. I'm like, no, I can't. There's like these jumping guys right after
these
me.
Fucking guys.
Come on.
But fun fact, apparently the fog or whatever that they added, they had to add in development because what they originally wanted to do was have it where you could see like the whole town as you're going.
Yeah.
But the PlayStation like just wouldn't allow that. Like it didn't have the power to show
that
kind
many
of
things
stuff
at the same time.
Oh,
so
before we mention more, we should also mention that Silent Hill, one of its famous features is that there's Silent Hill and then there's the Hell version.
Yeah.
Silent Hill.
Right.
So this game plays on kind of the dichotomy of different things.
Well, that's
guess,
what,
like,
yeah.
The fog kind of plays into that a little bit.
So you mean like the real world and then the other world where it's like grates and fucking.
Yeah, because the real, like the one where you're in, it's like foggy and it's like you know,
90s
you're
era rave warehouse.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's like the Hell Silent Hill, it just gets all like grated and like dirty and there's like more creatures and
stuff dripping everywhere.
Yeah. Which is interesting, because you'll play through like a certain level, like the school, which is a pretty prominent section of the game. Mm-hmm. And as you're playing through it, like you get through the whole school, and then you got to go through like the hell version of the school, which is like going through the same rooms, but they're different now.
It extends the gameplay, and I feel like it's not like a cheap way of doing it. Like it's a pretty creative way.
Yeah, it makes everything seem different, and then like
have I ever told you guys my theory on the hell version of Silent Hill?
No.
What's that?
Well, I guess now would be a good time.
That would be a good time.
Sure, why not?
All right. So I've always held the belief that not just horror games, but like anything in the horror genre is a reflection of that culture's like, you know, biggest fears and moments and whatever. Silent Hill was made by Konami, a Japanese company. You know, when they were it should be noted that the hell version of Silent Hill is nothing but kind of grates and kind of burnt down looking buildings and whatnot.
Mm.
Well, I'm just making like the connection here. Like, you know, Japan, you know, they've had the history of the nuclear bomb being dropped on them.
Yeah.
And if you look at the hell version of Silent Hill, doesn't it look like a nuclear fallout?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really? Chernobyl.
And it's just like,
I honestly think the regular version of Silent Hill looks more like that because of the fog and the snow. Supposed to be falling.
Also, the sirens that go off that you hear.
Yeah,
that kind of sounds like warning sirens a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
That's my theory. Like, you know, when you ask like a Japanese company to come up with like a hell version of like a town, it should be noted that the hell that they came up with. It's very similar to like a.
They just go to Nagasaki with a notepad and they're like, well, here we go.
That's, that's
pretty
it.
Much. So.
Well, and Silent Hill 2 had the, like the melted kind of people too.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty creepy.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're onto something, John.
Oh, well, that was my master's thesis on horror.
Right.
Silent Hill.
You did that for school, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet. What'd you get on it?
I passed.
Okay. So
a high D.
Yeah.
She was more of a Resident Evil fan. So
oh, really? One of those teachers.
Right. I hate those guys.
Yeah.
Speaking of teachers.
Ooh.
What was your guys' scariest moment?
That is related.
Very ham-fisted segue there.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Give me credit
for
that.
That's what I do.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll go first. Mine was, we talked about it a little bit, but the school hell. Basically, you go through the school, there's like these little children demon creatures, but then when it goes into the hell version, there's just like more of them, and you're like running through, like all the rooms are now kind of empty, and there's no more desks or anything, but it's just this grated, bloody kind of room, and you have to get through it. But there was like one portion, I think, when you play the school and you're in the school for the first time and it's not the hell version, there's like these lockers or something.
Stole my fucking moment,
and
then man.
The cat, it's like the cat thing or whatever.
I knew it.
Like the cat jump, there's like a locker shaking, and then when you get up to it, I don't know if you open it or if it just opens by itself, but a cat jumps out. And you're like, okay, easy horror trope that just happened. But when you go into the hell version.
I think we should mention that the cat does run out of the room and you hear it get eaten.
Oh,
by
yeah,
a monster.
You do hear like, something like that.
Delicious.
Yeah. But then when you go into the hell version and you have to go back into that room, I think there's still like all the lockers. But this time when you go up to that locker that was shaken before, it's just empty. There might be like blood
like,
in it.
I know how this works.
Yeah. But there's nothing in it. But then when you start walking away, then like one of the lockers like bursts open and then like this dead body, I think, falls out or something.
Yeah, I think it was a body with a key you needed or something like that.
Yeah. So that it was like a cheap jump scare, but it worked, and there weren't too many of those, so
no,
I thought it was good.
Not at all, and that was going to be my scariest moment. I thought it would be a lot of yours, too. And
it's mine as well. Yeah. I mean, that's really the only...
Yeah.
The game was creepy, not scary.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. It did do the thing that like kind of Fatal Frame did, where anytime I heard like creatures coming up, I would kind of get like goosebumps or like, oh, crap, like what am I going to do?
Yeah.
But it wasn't like jump scares or anything like that.
I feel like everybody had the same scariest moment. So thank you, Robert, for
stealing everybody's scariest moment.
Hey, or could have jumped out first and no one did. So suck it.
I'll offer something different. Then.
Okay, what's that?
Okay. So since that was apparently the only jump scare in the game, was the cat.
Yeah.
Or like a scare. I will say that the game made really good use of the radio to kind of help creep you out.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, the radio would make a static noise whenever an enemy was nearby. And it was really effective when you're just like in a hallway, just like walking by yourself, and all of a sudden the static just goes off. I'm like, oh crap.
Yeah.
I never noticed that, actually. I always just noticed that the music changed whenever there was an enemy near.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if you, the static definitely went off.
It might have been because I played it on a Vita, so the speakers weren't great. Okay. But I did notice that the music did change whenever enemies were near.
We'll talk about this later, but I think that's something from my limited playing of Silent Hill 2, that's something that Silent Hill 2 took and just made
it better.
So much better with that whole radio aspect.
Yeah.
Actually, this part that is on this video right now where you can either kill the cop or save her on the Karis wheel towards the end of the game, that was a pretty scary moment for me because I had the liquid to use on her to save her. I just didn't know that's what it was for, so I killed her, and then I saw that was bad, and then I was really scared that I saved after I killed her, so I couldn't redo it.
Oh,
actually, when me and Robert were playing, we didn't even find that liquid.
Yeah.
We just had to straight up kill her. We didn't get a choice.
So you guys both had the bad ending.
Yeah, we got the bad ending. We looked up all the endings, though, after we beat it.
She's a strategy guy, man.
I think there's four endings.
There's five. You've got, I believe, you have the bad plus, good plus, and then like a
alien
UFO
ending.
There's a joke ending.
Yeah. I have an idea.
What's that?
Why don't we
take
a quick break?
Okay.
Look at all the endings.
I just want to watch the alien one.
The alien one?
All right.
I saw the good plus. That's you guys watch the other ones on your own time.
All right. Well,
we'll just do the one.
Kyle, cue up the alien ending.
I'll do that.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Hey, podcast listeners, Robert here, along with Kyle.
What's up?
And John.
Hey.
We're here to talk to you about a little podcast that we do called Shark Dropper.
Yeah.
What do we talk about in Shark Dropper?
Oh, all kinds of things. Kyle, name one of them.
Oh, geez, walking across America.
John, name another.
Ooh, video games.
No, we never talk about that.
Yeah, that's stupid.
So if you want to listen to Shark Dropper, don't listen for the video games.
We talked about video games last week.
You know what? Just don't listen to John at all.
John, just don't listen to him talk.
Okay.
Yeah. that's a good rule of thumb.
But if you want to listen to me and Kyle talk, along with John intermittently, but really don't listen to that part.
Hi, guys.
Go visit sharkdropper.com because you can find everything there.
Robert.
Mm-hmm.
John.
Yes.
Complete the sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Five.
Four.
Three,
two,
one.
What are we doing?
Counting.
Counting what?
Down?
Counting down what?
Everything? Everything and anything.
Anything and everything?
That's right. The three of us, we count down from five down to one. Top five, everything and anything that you can think of. You want to know the top five shittiest bands? You want to know the top five movies? Listen, Shark Dropper Studios, sharkdropper.com.
Oh, welcome back to Horror Play. So that was... We actually watched a couple of endings.
Yeah, we watched the endings again. We watched the ending credit sequence, which has all the characters come back and do some weird
wacky facial
features.
During a sitcom.
Right. Well, you know, they're all right.
So this is
just a movie.
It was just a show. Yeah.
We're having fun here.
When you guys beat the game, like tune in to watch like when they introduce all the characters. The last character they introduced, Harry Mason, makes like the funniest face.
He looks like almost like James Deanish.
Just, like, it's cool. more like a weird Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, you're like too right. cool yeah. for school.
Yeah, man.
Wait, are we talking about James Dean the porn star?
Yeah.
Okay,
James
I just wanted to make sure.
I
would like to amend my scariest moment to the Cheryl Mason face in the credits. Small children are always scary, no matter what.
She has a creepy smile towards the
camera.
Oh, that's not it.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect pretty spot creepy. To yep. stop that in. That's terrible. Yeah. It's terrifying.
We'll keep it there.
All right. Well, I think it's about that time on the podcast.
What time?
Where?
Adventure time.
Robert pulls out that sheet of paper.
Ba-bam!
With the numbers on it. And then
we all shame him for killing trees when he could just type things on his...
I could.
iPhone like an adult.
But I'm not going to do that.
You're a monster.
I'm going to breathe a little worse tonight because of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. One tree at a time. Ready?
One Tree Hill.
Please.
One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill.
It's a good show.
The OC?
I don't even know where to go from there. All right. So that was good. Let's get into that.
We got to work. Okay. Here's my resolution.
Segue right in there.
My resolution is to make better segues.
We're doing fine.
We'll get better as the year
Are we
going to
get
on.
Fanny packs for the front of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And better jokes.
Robert, just...
We can get out of the podcast business, get in the segue business. Start offering toys.
All right, I'll get into the ratings now. If you listen to Horror Play before, you know we have a rating system that judges each game, not only by its scariness, which is the most important, but also by other aspects.
Yeah.
Its looks,
yeah.
Which would be classified under immersion.
Sure.
But yeah, we have different categories that we judge it. Judge each game on immersion, story, gameplay, scariness. Scariness is obviously the most important because we're trying to find the scariest game ever made, but we want to judge it on these other aspects just to see how it is as a horror game in general.
I feel like you have this memorized, like by
yeah.
I have to say it every time.
Yeah, it still looks like he has to think about what's next
because I try to mix it up a little bit. I try to mix it up a little bit.
You're doing a great job.
But it's not verbatim. Okay. I mix it up.
Right.
So, anyways, let's get into it. We'll start off with immersion, which is atmosphere, music, sound effects, creativity, graphics. Were we immersed in the game? Let's find out. I myself gave it a 7. Adam gave it a 7. John gave it a 6. And Kyle gave it a 6. Pretty similar. Pretty close. We can't jump on anybody. It's pretty close.
Yeah. I really wanted to, but I was like, I'm going to have to go after both of them.
You know what we could do? We could do Team 7 versus Team 6.
No, okay. I think it's
actually,
it's too close to call.
I'm sure we'll run across some other discrepancies.
Okay.
Yeah,
trust
me, it's coming up.
Adam, talk about the immersion.
There you go.
I liked it. I thought it was more effective than Resident Evil, which is what I heavily compared this game to, and I think that's a fair statement.
Okay, absolutely agree with that.
I really...
Continue.
I really liked... It's just the atmosphere of the town. It was really creepy. The fog everywhere. The music was very ambient.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the Silent Hill, that was cool.
Yeah.
I felt like it did mess with you psychologically a lot. I don't know, man. What else did they have? Creativity. I liked it. I mean, the graphics were decent for the time.
Mm.
I don't know, man. It was solid.
I agree with everything Adam said.
Okay.
Because you gave it the
a
exact
seven.
Same score.
We got together. Yeah. We rated it. We both went through the same thing.
You called each other.
Yeah. And just
it was better than average.
Yeah. That's what we thought.
Okay. I agree in a slightly...
I agree with John.
Yeah. Okay. The first bullet point here, atmosphere, it does a great job.
Sure.
As Adam mentioned, the fog and everything. The music is a high point. Mm-hmm. The music for all the Silent Hill games are just outstanding.
Right.
It's appropriate. They definitely creep you out. But they also, I think it's like the melodic nature that just kind of throws me off. It's like you really don't expect to hear something like that in a horror game. It makes it creepier. The graphics, I know it's an old game, it's what, 99, but it was the graphics are really rough.
Like, yeah, really basic.
It's just, I think.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, well, Resident Evil's not pretty.
Yeah, John.
Honestly, like, Resident Evil came out in 96, right? Yeah. I think Resident Evil had better graphics than Silent Hill that came out in 99.
I think it did it better. It did bad graphics better than.
But I think that's also because of its limited. I mean, it was hallways and staircases and stuff like that.
Let's not forget about those state of the art full motion videos, live action.
That was a lot better than Resident Evil. But we're not. But the thing is, we're not judging against Resident Evil. We're judging it against like everything. So yeah, I would say, and putting it in that lens, I'd say it's deserving of a low score.
It definitely. I mean, you could argue, like, well, the shitty graphics sometimes adds to the game's creepiness. I just felt like it felt like a distraction most of the time.
Yeah, see, the thing is like, does it hold up? Like, it doesn't hold up over time, where I feel like Resident Evil maybe does better than Silent Hill. Silent Hill doesn't hold up as well.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll respectfully disagree.
Me
with
too.
My seven.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
I just contradicted myself. I started off podcast saying, like, I don't think it's fair to compare this game to Resident Evil. That's what I did. Like I said, it's impossible to talk about Silent Hill without comparing it to Resident Evil.
You're right.
I think it's possible, think it's but whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll move on.
Moving on.
So we'll go into story, basically plot, characters, enemies. I personally gave it a 6. Adam gave it a 6. We called each other again.
Yeah.
And then John gave it a 6.5, and Kyle gave it a 5.
5. Ooh, I'm going to be attacked for this one.
Oh.
Like, 3,
well.
2, 1.
Kyle!
this is why I don't come on this podcast.
You gotta be careful with your ratings.
Adam said, like Adam said during the break, like there was parts of the story where I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Like, I don't know who. Like, it only starts to really make sense towards the end, and even then, like, I didn't feel satisfied with where the story went. So that gives it that gives it a 5. And like your bullet points that you rated on plot, characters, enemies, the plot was weak. The characters were it suffered from that classic early video game bad acting. I feel like just
see. I think the plot was kind of just kind of out there. It was.
What is the plot? Can you digest it? Like, I don't think you can. Right?
From what I gather is Cheryl Mason, who you're looking for the whole game,
your daughter,
was adopted by Harry Mason and his wife. She apparently is somehow
connected to
the
old lady, right?
The Alyssa Gillespie or whatever,
right,
the monster.
The daughter. Oh yeah, yeah.
She was the old lady's daughter, and they tried to birth some demon out of her, but the little girl somehow stopped it, and it tore her soul, and it went into the Cheryl Mason girl.
Mm-hmm.
Those old tropes.
Yeah.
But they don't really say like if the Cheryl Mason girl was from Silent Hill.
I think she was because I think I read that she was found. They found her outside of Silent Hill, like abandoned outside of Silent Hill. So she was from Silent Hill.
All right, then that makes sense. But it was interesting. I like the whole aspect, like the evil town aspect.
Yeah.
I feel like they underdelivered on how they presented that story, though.
Yeah.
But
I think see, for me, like, I like the characters in the sense of they were different. Like, when you play Resident Evil, there's such stock characters, and it's such a B-movie-ish kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this still has, like, B-movie aspects, but it's a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like the characters are a little bit, like, more developed than, like, Jill Valentine and Barry Burton and stuff. But they also didn't get enough screen time. Like, they didn't get enough of the story for each one of them.
Yeah.
Right.
I would agree with that 100%.
I think the story started off well. You know, you're in a car accident. You're, like, you wake up in a creepy-ass town. You have to find your daughter. That's great. But then, like, it just suffers from, like, most horror games where the story just escalates and escalates and it just goes off the rails, like, towards the end. And, like, it just happens here. I'm just, like, towards the end, I'm like, all right, I have no idea what's going on. There's, like, some weird, a lot of weird stuff. I'm not going to follow it. I'm just going to enjoy the ride.
I think a big problem with it was they presented you with so little throughout the opening portion of the game, which is okay. But by the time they actually started to deliver answers, they just went so off into left field with it. It was kind of hard to follow what they were giving you all of a sudden.
It wasn't like a satisfying conclusion. No. I wish it was. Because I liked the game. I liked how the game
was. I like the idea behind the story that it's some evil town and like everybody in this town is conspiring together.
I will say that like later games, they kind of build off what Silent Hill 1 laid plot-wise, and they do it very well. But we're not talking about those games right now. We're talking about Silent Hill 1. I think I gave it 6.5. I gave it that extra 0.5 because like some of the characters in this game were really, or like the enemies, were really well done. Like the nurses.
I agree. I feel like that's what saved it for me.
Yeah. There were legitimately creepy characters, like way creepier than what you would find in that other game.
That we're not comparing it to. Yeah.
Biohazard.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that whole sequence with the nurse that you meet in the hospital where she changes like in front of your eyes and then you read her diary of like how she was dead the whole time or something had happened to her the whole time. You don't know what. Then you go back and actually kill her at the end. But
yeah. Stuff like that you won't find in the Pac-Man.
Yeah, the other game. The other one.
Pac-Man, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that there.
Nope. Pac-Man's a horror game. You got to survive against the ghosts.
Yeah.
That's true.
Ooh,
I haven't played that yet.
I know. We'll get to
next
it.
Next one. Yeah. Next.
Yeah. What about Tetris? Falling blocks.
No ghosts.
That's not very scary.
No ghosts.
If a block fell on you, you'd be screaming.
Well, I think I'd move out of the way of the block. And how big is the block?
Yeah, we don't know that it's a block. Is it a block?
All right, I could probably get out of the way of it.
Yes.
I don't know if you can.
Look, as long as nobody pushes the down arrow, I'm okay.
Yeah, you'll have to really run. Just climb on top of them as they go. They'll make like a staircase.
Yeah, then it'll be a Tetris Mario.
Ooh. Now that's...
That's thinking with your brain.
Nope. All right, so let's move on. We'll go to gameplay, which is our next category. Gameplay is just basically the controls and the level design. This one's an interesting one. I personally gave it a 5.5. Adam gave it a 7. John gave it a 4.5. And Kyle gave it a 7.
Yeah.
So, well...
Why do I have to explain,
John?
What? Yeah, John, you got it. You got to explain yourself.
That was the lowest.
You were eyeballing Adam the whole
that
time.
That was lowest. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know.
We just like to look each other in the eyes a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you call each other.
It helps us think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. Okay. Gameplay. I mean, the level design was like I mentioned earlier, the dichotomy between like the regular Silent Hill and Hell Silent Hill. That was pretty creative. Like a way of approaching level design, it definitely extended the gameplay. But I feel like, you know, there were a lot of times where I just felt like I was just going through like the same hallways over and over and over again. Granted, like it's typical of games like of this era,
yeah,
so I shouldn't be judging too harshly on that. But the controls in this game, it's also standard of survival horror games at the time where it's like tank controls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel like they're actually worse than
Let's just say it.
I got
there are a lot of times where like I tried to avoid like enemies and I just couldn't. I just had to take the hit.
I'm going to disagree with you. It was impossible to avoid a hit. I will agree with you there. But I do feel like the controls were less tanky than Resident Evil.
Really?
Yeah, I felt that it was a lot easier to just move around and run in general. I didn't find myself all of a sudden turning to the right, even though I was still holding up or whatever on the control pad like I did in Resident Evil.
There were a lot of times where like I tried to turn really quick, but I would do like this weird kind of sidestep. You know, just like I will like sidestep right into the dog.
Yeah. Also, I liked that you were able to move and shoot. Depending on the weapon you were using, and I felt that that was a huge benefit over Resident Evil.
That's true.
Because you could you couldn't move and shoot in that game until that terrible Operation Raccoon City game they made, I believe. But it made sense. Like, you can move with a handgun. You can't walk with the hunting rifle. Like, you can walk with the shotgun.
Right.
So, I don't know. I like that. And that's partly why I gave it such a high score. And the inventory control was nowhere near what Resident Evil was.
Inventory was way more intuitive, way, way better than I thought that was.
So, here's my rebuttal to that. Is that, yeah, the controls are felt slightly more fluid than Resident Evil. But because the enemies were faster in Silent Hill, you were at more of a disadvantage than you were in Resident Evil, because Resident Evil, the zombies are very slow and tanky controls, they still kind of screwed you over, but not as much as Silent Hill's controls does, because the enemies in Silent Hill are faster and more nimble. So
yeah, I mean, I can see both points of view. I gave it a 5.5, but I mean, I basically just gave it average. I think the reason why I gave it a little bit above a 5 was because of the level design. It wasn't outstanding, but it was just, like, they had their different levels. They had the sewer, they had the school, they had the city, or the town, and, you know, that's basically just, you know, I mean, it was, like, these levels, but it's different enough to where I was fine with it. The controls weren't the greatest. I didn't give Resident Evil that great on gameplay either because of the controls, so I tried to keep it similar there. It was just the same for me.
I also like that there wasn't a lot of backtracking unnecessarily. I like that it was a little more straightforward, and you actually going into the different areas as you progress through the town. I feel like that does hold up.
I love that map that Silent Hill had. It was actually, I felt like it was more useful than the map you get in Resident Evil.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I don't know. I just think moving forward, I actually felt like I was doing something.
Yeah.
Instead of, all right, now I'm running back through the same room.
Yeah.
If I was doing that in Silent Hill, it's because I got lost.
Right.
Well, it's hard to get lost in Silent Hill because every other street was blocked off by a fucking chasm.
So yeah.
But it was incredibly hard to miss puzzle items.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. I do want to also point out, which we didn't talk about, but I think all the street names are based on horror authors.
Yeah. Are they?
Like, there was like a Crichton Avenue or something like that.
Michael Crichton, Dean Koontz. I think there's Stephen King.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see what that actually was in the original Japanese version.
Was there
of the
like
game.
An R.L. Stine Avenue?
There's a Dan Simmons, Matheson, Richard Matheson,
Bradbury.
It's either Robert Block or Ray Block wrote Psycho. Ray Bradbury. Richard Matheson wrote I Am Legend. I don't know who Finney is.
Okay.
Elroy, James Elroy.
So is that why Silent Hill went to hell? They name all the streets after horror authors?
They're not all horror authors, though. Is Ray Bradbury really a horror author?
Fahrenheit 451, man. That shit was scary.
Here, do this one. Click on this.
Okay. Maybe they had a town meeting after they became a hell town and changed all the street names.
Michael Crichton, Dean Koontz, Dan Simmons. I mean, come on.
I didn't.
Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that.
You think the guy who was in charge of like English localization for this game was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to like.
Just authors. I love books.
I love books.
But they could have easily done like directors or anything, but they like.
And the Japanese, like, they probably didn't care. They're like, I don't know. That sounds good.
I just remember when we like figured that out, we're like, wait a second. Koontz Street?
Dean Koontz.
And I was like, Crichton.
Where's King Street?
I don't see a King Street. I thought that was a King Street.
That's snubbed.
Yeah, how do you not have Stephen King?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, probably because he hasn't written a horror novel in like 20 years.
Yeah, but he's still done some.
No, I'm going to say that on the basis that I've never read a Stephen King book.
Yeah. So we don't get this lash of just hate mail.
Yeah.
The Dark Tower series was amazing.
That was
at least 20 years ago, though, right?
Yeah, it was.
So I'm not that far off.
No, you're not.
I think the last book I saw was like the book cover was a cell phone on a beach.
That was
like, I'm going to get a work call on vacation.
There actually was a horror book called Cell, but that wasn't the one on the beach, but it was called Cell. And it was
zombies. Didn't it have Jennifer Lopez?
No. Oh, yeah. The Cell. He wrote that and directed it with Vince Vaughn.
I knew it.
Yeah,
Jennifer Lopez.
It was a pretty movie.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to our final category, and arguably, but not really arguably, the most important, scariness. Was this game actually scary? I gave it a 6.5 out of 10. Adam gave it a 4 out of 10. John and Kyle, a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
Adam, what's this about?
Deal.
Well, if you would just calm down and let me explain. God, you guys never listen.
We're waiting.
Yeah.
So I didn't really think it was that scary. There was only that one jump scare moment, and that wasn't that terrifying.
It's true.
And it was just a creepy atmosphere besides that. So I don't know. It didn't scare me as much as a lot of the other games we've played have.
Okay.
Especially not coming off Five Nights at Freddy.
Yeah.
This was like Animal Crossing.
You did have to do an extremely large amount of just farming.
Gardening.
Yeah.
I never played Animal Crossing, so I'll just have to take your word on that. No, I gave this game a 6. That's I think that was a little bit higher than what I gave Resident Evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just when we play old games like these, I try to be as fair as possible. I try to, like, you know, block out, like, all the games I played, you know, in the past decade and try to, like, judge it on its own merits. But it's just hard to, like, I feel like I've been scared by scarier games. And when you play, like, a game like this, it's hard to, like, you know, go back to that mindset, you know. And this game is, if I had played this game when I was younger, I would have been creeped out. Well, I did play it when I was younger. But I didn't really beat it. So
see, that's my thinking is when I played Resident Evil when I was younger, I could actually play through the game, and even though it was scary, I could still play through it. Whereas Silent Hill, when I was younger and I tried playing it, it like creeped me out. And really? Obviously, I was younger then, but I could never like finish it because I was always like either. I mean, sometimes I would just get stuck, but like there were times when I tried playing it, and I just like it was just creepy, like hearing the monsters come around the corner, and I would play it with the lights off. So like I just never beat it back then, but like playing it now, it still kind of gave me those like chills every time you heard like a moan or like heard the static go, and that's why I kind of raised it higher.
I also forgot that once I noticed the music cues whenever there was an enemy around, that really kind of hurt it for me, because every time I would hear that music, I'd be like, all right, I'm going to get attacked soon.
Mm.
And also, this was the first time I've ever played this game, so it was completely fresh. So I feel like my rating is not biased.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
It kept you on your feet the entire time, and that's something I like in a horror game. Whereas there's a lot of horror games that we've played where there's kind of you have that mix of relief, you have that sense of you can kind of breathe out. Silent Hill kind of gave me that sort of, you know, lump in my throat feeling the entire playthrough, just by way of the ambiance, the fog, the music, and what have you, the switch from the other world to Silent Hill. And I think that entered a lot into my score, so that's why I gave it a 6.
Yeah.
Well, if you take all those scores and add them together and divide by 4, it gives a total 6 out of 10 for the game. But on scariness, which is the one we're most concerned about, it gets a whopping 5.6 out of 10.
And where does that put
we
it?
Don't have a... Do we have an updated list?
Yeah, well, I got the updated Robert list right now.
We got a board here.
I know.
Fucking...
But we're not going to use the board right now. We're going to use this list I printed out. And that puts it at number 9. So it actually is in our top 10.
Okay.
But just above BioShock, just below Daylight.
Let me see this list.
So it's... We thought this game was scarier than
BioShock, but not scarier than Daylight. Daylight actually has a little more. There's a little bigger gap between Daylight and Silent Hill. Daylight has, I think, is sitting at a 7.1.
Yeah,
and BioShock is sitting at a 5.4, I believe.
Okay.
So this just barely beat out BioShock, but it's pretty like a lot lower than.
I guess I can see Daylight. Silent Hill being scarier than BioShock. It definitely had its creepy moments, but it was mainly just a lot of action and the sci-fi stuff going on. Silent Hill is just creepy, cold town.
And it's more survival horror.
I mean, it was supposed to be scary, whereas BioShock kind of gave up on being scary
towards
the end. And
Daylight was the first person one where
the camera,
you were in an asylum and you had the glow sticks and the witches were chasing you.
Yeah.
Chafing you, too. Chafing. They were definitely
I wasn't even going chafing.
Down.
It was chaching, whatever the fuck that is.
Should have brought your baby.
What will unseat Slender the Arrival as the number one game?
Yeah, I want to go through just really quick. I'll go through the top 10 as they are right now. We have
number 10.
What?
Okay.
I was going to start with number 10. Oh, okay.
I think you should start with 3.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to work down.
Let's go randomly.
Yeah. No, let's go 3, 7, 2, 9, 10, 4, 11. Okay. Let's just throw that one in.
But we'll end with
people.
4. We'll end with
yeah,
4.
Naturally.
Okay, but we're not going to do that. We'll start with number 10, which was BioShock. Number 9 is Silent Hill. Number 8 is Daylight. 7, Fatal Frame. 6, Slender, The 8 Pages. Number 5 is Amnesia, The Dark Descent. Number 4, Five Nights at Freddy's. Number 3, Alien Isolation. Number 2, Outlast. And number 1, Slender, The Arrival.
That's a pretty varied top 10.
Yeah.
There's I think
a lot
so.
Of different type of...
And there's so many other horror games that are considered classics that we have yet to play. Yeah. So
we have yet to scratch the surface.
Yes. Yeah. Currently, that's our top 10
top
at the 10. Beginning of 2015.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll see how it is
we'll
at the end.
We'll keep an eye on the top 10 when we get to the end of 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See if it changes much.
Slender will probably still be up there.
Yeah, I think Slender's going to be hard.
Ricky had to give a 10 on scariness. That just skews everything.
Ricky gave a 10 on Slender.
10 out of 10. Yeah.
That's why it skewed so high. We're not going to change it because that would just be cheating.
I think I've given it a 10. Have I given it a 10? I might have given it a 10.
I'm just going to give a 10 to everything.
I gave it a 9.
Until we beat it.
I gave it a 9 or something. Like, I mean, like a 9 point something.
It was pretty scary.
It was definitely scary. I think it deserves to be at the top. I mean, it's not the greatest game, but it definitely was one of the scariest ones. So, well.
All right. Well, do we have any final thoughts on Silent Hill, gentlemen?
I liked it. It was a fun game. Glad I played through the whole thing. Ending was a little weak, but still was creepy throughout.
I liked it too. I'm excited for 2.
Yeah, it's a great appetizer for 2. Yeah, Silent Hill 2 was the high point
great,
of the series.
Yeah.
According to some people, Silent Hill 2 is still the high point of the series.
I can't wait to revisit Silent Hill 2.
You know what's weird? That's the first game I ever bought for my PlayStation 2, and I never played it.
Really?
I think I started the game, and I ran into the town, and then I saved it and never touched it again. Not because I was scared, just because I never got around to it.
Right.
Yeah, you were scared.
scared of the fog.
Scared.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, man, I don't like wood planks, and I got to yeah. carry this. I am
that was
out.
It. That was it.
All right. Well, I think we've reached the end of this podcast. I've been your host, John Lawson. Thanks once again to my co-hosts, Robert, Adam, and Kyle. Thank you so much for starting your life with us, and we'll see you guys next time.